Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today are Steve Lasker and Merwan Hadeh. Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Robert. How's it going?
These guys are on the Azure Tooling team on Visual Studio.
Cloud Platform Tools, so it's tools. Across all of our cloud services.
And you are here to show us what's new in Connected Services.
Yep.
So that's basically right. The idea is you have a service running on a machine somewhere, could be in Azure, potentially isn't on Azure. And in Visual Studio, we've always had the ability to add a reference or add a service reference.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to show us kind of the next evolution of that experience, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, let you get started.
Yeah. So before we get started, I just wanted to talk a little bit about what we mean when we say connected services. And so developers today are connecting to all sorts of services. You know, you're connecting to advertising services, billing services, analytics like App Insights, or productivity services like Office 365. And while there is some amount of tooling for connecting to these services through NuGet or through Add Reference or Add Service Reference, connecting to them is largely a manual process. So for example, if you're using NuGet, you still have to go and find connection strings and know where to put it into your project. You still have some sort of configuration step. You still have to go online and look for documentation. Or with Add Service Ref, a lot of new modern services aren't really on that yet, or don't plan to be, you know, compliant with that.
Because they have to have some kind of discoverability for that dialog to find them, right?
Right.
Well, it's not just that, right? I mean, the Add Service Reference is really a particular standard. It's a text box.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the certain technologies. So we know about OData. We know about ASMX. But even with things like OData, there was a lot of variances between where people put their metadata, how they configured auth, and we realized that it just one size fits all didn't really work.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and so we actually wanted to combine the best of both worlds and come up with a connection experience that catered to the uniqueness that each service has, but also provided a very familiar experience. And one thing that we wanted to do was we really wanted to set up a common place where people could discover services, they could authenticate against their services if they needed configuration. So for example, like there's an OAuth step. For example, for Office 365, mm-hmm. you select what kind of service you want to consume. Is it mail? Is it contacts? Is it users and groups? And then you need to set permissions. So we wanted that place where you could also do configuration. Then finally, we wanted a place where you could do all this service selection, but then also the same thing could also make changes to your project. So we would give you NuGet packages that you needed. We would give you connection strings. And then we'd also give you guidance. So we didn't want you to go online and have to look for documentation. Once you're done with this, you should be ready to start writing code.
Mm-hmm. You're still online looking for documentation, but which version, right? I mean, go look for something on the web, and you never know. Is the pre-release version 1, 2, 3? So we wanted to try to provide some binding between, I just added this specific thing. It's a particular service. It's a particular version. Let's guide you to the beginning documentation and samples to get you started.
Okay. So let's switch over to Visual Studio, and let's take a look at what the experience looks like in Visual Studio 2015.
So and this is the preview, right? So
this is a preview.
Because these videos live on forever.
Right.
The videos never die.
So what I have here is I have an ASP.NET MVC application. We've called it Contoso Repair Manager. So imagine that you're building an application for field engineers. They have tickets for certain customers. The customer information is stored in Salesforce. And then for a ticket by a customer, let's say you take images, and those images are stored in Azure Storage.
Okay.
So the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to take this project and I'm going to connect it to Azure Storage. So the way I'm going to do that, I'm going to select my project, go to the References node here, right-click, and go to Add Connected Service. Now you'll notice that...
Does that also work if you right-click on Service Reference?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
But good prompt for what we want to do in RTM. So
okay.
We just didn't get it done for preview.
Yeah, but you'll notice that it lies alongside Reference, Service Reference, Manage NuGet Packages. So we really think of it as analogous to all of those other dialogues.
It doesn't really lie. We're trying to be very transparent and truthful.
It sits alongside. So when you go in here, the first step is selecting which service you want to consume. And at VS 2015 preview, we had support for Azure Mobile Services, Azure Storage, Office 365 APIs, and we've also got Salesforce. And Steve, in a little bit, is going to show the Salesforce experience. But here, I want to focus on Azure Storage.
This is actually, it's nice because you're not only making it easier, but you're actually starting to now advertise the types of things that can be done.
Right.
So if I want to use the Office 365 APIs, I have to not only go find out what they do and how they work, but I have to go find how to add them. And now it's
and
just,
the URL.
Yeah, and now it's right there.
Right.
That's nice.
Right.
Yeah,
the other thing I was going to say was if you find a service that's not, you know, for example, if you're not using one of these services and you want a third-party service, for example, you can hit Find More Services. We'll open up the extension and updates gallery, and you can actually find an extension. It's really just a V6 extension. Mm. You can find it, install it, restart Visual Studio, and it'll show up here.
Cool.
And the whole idea here is, you know, you instead of having to build the stuff into Visual Studio, we have to ship it, even though we're shipping on a quarterly cycle. We now want to enable third parties to build their own. That's why, with the gallery support,
right.
Publish them to the gallery, download them, install them, and people are on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll select Azure Storage and I'll hit Configure. So the first thing you'll notice here is there's a keychain control at the top right-hand corner. And this identity here, I just added my account earlier, and I don't have to go in and type in my username and password again. It's remembered for me. And using the same keychain control, if I were to, you know, go back to my desktop and log in using my central, you know, Visual Studio identity, mm-hmm. I don't have to type in my password again. My credentials are remembered. So I'm going to go with my Microsoft account here. And I can now choose between either an existing storage account, and if I want, I can also create a new one. All I have to do is click on this Create a New Storage Account link. Okay.
I just think about that. Instead of having to type things in, he's just selecting from what's there, and
right.
That's what's nice. I don't have to remember everything because we're all creating these things on the fly. They're changing. Our whole thing is select from and prompt along the
right.
way, and including, are you going to create one or?
Yeah. Why don't we try that?
Yeah. Right, and add service reference, you don't create services, you don't create service configuration. So here, we're able to actually go to the service and create whatever that service is.
Mm-hmm. So I'll create one called Channel 9 Demo. And I'll just create one in, let's go with West US.
So now, you know, so we got the configuration and creation, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll just go ahead and use the Contoso repair one and I'll hit add. So now the connected service dialog is doing three things for you. First and foremost, it's adding the latest storage NuGet package to your project. It's adding a connection string for that storage account that we selected. And then lastly, it's also going to open up a getting started doc that shows you snippets of what are the next set of things that you need to do with Azure Storage. Mm. So we'll see that in just a second.
I mean, how many times have we had these things before where we added the sample code to the project?
Yeah.
That was nice the first time, you know, so you kind of get started. And then by the time you've done the fifth or tenth time, what's the first thing you do?
Delete it.
Yeah. So we really wanted to find that balance and make sure that you had the stuff you really needed and put the stuff that you need in the beginning right at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm. And so you'll notice here, like, it opened up a nice little getting started doc for me. So I'll come back to this doc in just a second, but I wanted to walk you through some of the changes that that the connected service dialog made to your project. So here, you'll notice that under service references, we added this folder called Contoso Repair Azure Storage, and it has a getting started HTML. So the doc that you opened up, if you close it and you need to go back to it at a later point, you can always find it here, right-click and hit View in Browser, and it'll just open it up.
Okay.
The other thing that I wanted to call out is if you look under references, we've added all these different Azure Storage references. So you'll notice things like Microsoft Windows Azure Configuration, Microsoft Windows Azure Storage. And then the last thing, and in some ways the most important thing, is in Web Config, you'll notice if you scroll down or scroll up, Contoso Repair underscore Azure Storage connection string, and it comes preloaded with your connection string for that storage account.
Cool.
So notice that I didn't have to leave Visual Studio, go online to the portal, look for the connection string or anything like that. It directly gets pasted into my project for me.
That's nice.
The thing about the getting started, so going back to the getting started doc, we wanted to make this sort of the canonical things that you would do with each service. And so in the case of storage, you're going to consume blobs, queues, or tables. And there are things that you would do with blobs, for example, like creating a container or deleting a blob file from a container or uploading something. And so really, this document is just a overview of all the different things that you can do. And we have links to more information, so you can always go find other samples or find more information if you need to. Mm-hmm. And the great thing is that because it's a web-based doc, we can go in and update it anytime.
Right.
So here, let me just copy some of these. Let me just run through an example real quick. So here, I'm going to open up my home controller. And I'll just add this reference in here. Oops.
We don't really help the fingertip problem.
That's we don't. And Steve has a very old school laptop, as you can tell.
Old school laptop. Wow.
Well, it's got the function to the left of control.
I know. It's like so 2011. Come on. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the storage connection string. So here, let me just copy this. And I'll add it into my index method. Why not? So as soon as the page opens up, then here it's asking for my storage account name, which I can find from here. It's called Contoso Repair. Okay, so just Control C. Oops. Again, the keyboard.
I gotta teach him how to use his own fingers and hunt and peck.
And looks like I think we just found our first bug with our documentation. But no worries. Okay.
This is where you get to show off the tooltips, right?
Yeah, and Roslyn.
Very cool. Control period.
There we go. Okay, and the next thing I'm going to do is I've gotten a reference. I'm going to create a container. Once I've created that container, I'm then going to try to delete a blob. So here, I'll just copy this snippet for creating a container.
See, at least he's learning where the Control C is. Yeah,
I'm a quick learner. I just take time, but I'm a quick learner. And I'll go in here, and then I'll just go and delete a blob. So here, let me just copy this snippet here to delete a blob. But the thing to call out here is this code is very much copy-pastable, right? Mm-hmm. If you need to do a little bit of customization, you can. You can paste it wherever you need, wherever you think it's appropriate. So let me quickly do that. I'll set a breakpoint here, and then I'll open up my container. And we'll just...
And how did you get this tooling in Server Explorer?
Good question. So download the latest Azure SDK. Mm-hmm. We just released our 2.5 version last week. By default, we have a few nodes that show up in the Server Explorer, but if you want the full range of our tooling, download the Azure SDK. So for example, the storage node comes with the SDK.
Right.
Cool.
So I'm going to F5.
You should always install the latest SDK. If you update to update 4, your very next step should be to go get the SDK.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there should be a setting in Visual Studio to automatically do it personally.
Like notify you of updates? That
no.
Flag thing in
if
the
I select I'm going to download an update and there's also an Azure SDK, I'd like to tell Visual Studio to automatically download both. Because I'm lazy. I mean, I always do it automatically.
So we should do, that's fair.
So
that
it
is
should
fair.
Happen automatically.
We should maybe talk to some feature PMs.
We should. Who do we know that works on the Azure Tools team?
Did you actually put this in user voice?
No, I usually wait till people come on the show and tell them directly. It's the point of having connections if you don't take advantage of them.
All right, so I just F5'd my project. I hit that blob.delete method. I'm going to hit F5. All right, so supposedly it deleted it because it's going to my homepage. If I refresh this, I'll notice that it actually successfully deleted it. So just wanted to recap, right? What we did was we made changes to your project. If you wanted to provision a storage account, you could have done that. We added your connection string. We also gave you a getting started doc, which had snippets. So you could literally just copy paste and try out. And as we saw, it actually works.
Cool.
So we're going to switch over to Steve, who's going to talk about Salesforce.
Yeah, I think just the main thing, I mean, the whole idea with connected services is the discovery, right? There wasn't a lot in there, you know, we try to guide you along the way. You didn't have to go out to the web, study a bunch of stuff, a bunch of trial and error. Mm-hmm. We try to get you started pretty quickly. So so in this example, we have the blob storage. We also wanted to go connect to Salesforce and get some the contact from there. Now, the interesting thing is with Salesforce, it is not built on our Microsoft technologies per se, right? It's REST and it's OAuth, but it's not OData. It's, you know, it's got a little bit of an OAuth configuration, slightly different. You can federate with Azure, but you know, you might just connect to a Salesforce domain to begin with. And when we started the connected services stuff, or we started the version 2 of it, because we had a pretty good success with the V1 that was in Visual Studio 2013, we wanted to take a look and how can we make this more expansive to support more than just Azure. Mm-hmm. We wanted to make sure that whether it's Office 365 or Dynamics CRM or SAP or Salesforce, did we have the flexibility in that? And of course, we know there's a number of developers that are working in Salesforce that are .NET developers, and they're building integration apps, but they didn't know how to get to things. And the REST APIs is what they'd like people to focus on, but there's no tooling around REST.
And also, like, there are people that are developing apps that use both Salesforce and Azure, for example, or Azure and Office 365. And so that's the whole thing about having this common place for services. You could discover all sorts of services, not just from one particular platform. Mm-hmm.
So here we purposely uninstalled it just to give the experience of what
Who writes this? Does Salesforce write this and it shows up in Visual Studio? Do we write it? Do we in Salesforce write it? How will additional ones get in here?
Yeah.
Who writes those?
So in this case, this was a co-development effort that we've been doing with Salesforce. Okay. So our development team here at Microsoft and the Cloud Platform Tools, we've been working with Wade Wegner, who was at Microsoft, was at Salesforce, now he's back at Microsoft.
Yep.
And Salesforce themselves, a guy named Dave Carroll, they've been an awesome partner. We presented at Dreamforce. They're just great to work with. So in this case, we co-developed it because we wanted to make sure we had a great experience mm-hmm. up front. In fact, we'll be making this open source in the next month or two so that others can see how we built one of these.
Okay.
And to your point, they can, once they've built them, you can publish them to the gallery. In fact, what I'm doing here is in preview, we didn't actually ship Salesforce in the box. We put we call it breadcrumb. Mm-hmm. And then you can go out to the gallery, download it from the gallery, we'll install it. And now, well, I don't care about that. And now I've got it. So I just need to restart Visual Studio because you know there's some tooling that has to reset mm-hmm. in there. And now I've got that provider from the gallery. And it could be SAPs, it could be, you know, your funky service that you wanted to provide in Visual Studio. Yeah. And that's the beauty, is you can just go grab them.
It's definitely extensible. So we are actually talking to a number of partners that are interested in plugging in, both at Microsoft and also outside of the company. And so we do, you know, intend for the AdConnected Services Dialog to be like a home for all sorts of services, not just Microsoft. And that's really the key point here, is that we want, you know, SAP, we want other companies to be in there as
could
well.
Could be them, yeah. It could be third parties. That's, yeah. There's some kind of guidance on how to create these. And
so we're actually just starting the SDK program.
Okay.
If people are interested in building a provider, they can contact us. But we're working with a fixed set of providers up first, because we want to make sure we get the experience out. I mean, one of the things that we've done, and you'll see here, so we'll use this as an example. With Salesforce, there's a number of steps to configuration.
Mm-hmm.
With some of the Azure ones, it's fairly straightforward. So we're able to do that in that grid UI that we had. In this case, it's a progressive set of steps that we wanted to go through, of which the first one is I need to authenticate against Salesforce.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we have the ability to remember your username and password, or your refresh token, your account, I should say. Or I can click a new one. And I'm just going to click the new one here just to show the experience. Now, for Salesforce, it's not just your auth. It's which environment you want to connect to. They've got a production one. They've got a sandbox. Or you could actually have custom configurations. And of course, this is not something you would put in a generic, you know, ad service reference configuration. And we've built in things like MRUs. Again, we don't want to have to remember all these things each time.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go through, and now I'll log in.
As Steve's going
through
that.
You're logging in to Salesforce here?
I'm logging into Salesforce. Okay. It's a Salesforce, but what I've done is because I chose that custom domain, you'll see I've got Contoso, some funky picture that I picked, and some ugly purple background. Actually, I don't know if it's okay. Ugly. It's very consistent purple background. But clearly not something that somebody else would have associated with this one.
Is that your car?
My car? No. The thing that has a boat hull to it? No. And then here is, you know, one of the things that Salesforce does is it has to accept permissions to have access to that. This connected service experience is now requesting access to my tenant for the permissions that I, you know, for the account that I just set up. So of course I'll say yes because I actually want it to work.
Yeah, as Steve's going through that, I just wanted to call out, like, notice how like the experience here is a lot different than the one that we showed for storage. Like,
right.
That was grid based, is a wizard based. But at the same time, there's still some amount of similarity. You still found it from the same place. It still shares that same Chrome. You know, we still have like an icon, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things that we wanted to sort of press upon these providers, the people that build these services as well, that plug in here, is that we cater to the uniqueness that you have for your service, but at the same time, there's a little bit of commonality, a little bit of discovery that that you enjoy that other people can use, and you know, really, it basically other people can leverage your service and also use your service as an advertisement for their own service.
Right. Okay, you know, like we had SAP, they built this thing called Add SAP Reference because Add Service Reference didn't work for them. And the experience was very different. And then if somebody else built one, that would be very different. So that's exactly Marwan's point here. And within this, we support different configurations. This is the wizard configuration, and the other one was the grid. So here, once I've done the design time configuration, right, it was the thing is I put in my credentials that I could create a connected app in Salesforce, and I could query it. Now what I want to choose is, what do I do as my runtime authentication? When users are logging into the app that I'm building, do they log in with what we call a web server flow, redirect them to a page, I log into Salesforce and go in? Is it a headless app, which is going to run as a web job or a console app or a Windows service, and I have to embed the username and password in it, or using a digital certificate?
Right.
So we have those options as well, and of course this is unique to Salesforce, and SAP is going to be different, Dynamics is going to be different. And for each auth option I can choose, in this case I want that branded login page, and again we have the MRUs in here.
Do you really want, I mean.
Because it's live, I can update at any time. Now, the next thing we've done is there's a lot of objects on Salesforce. Yeah. In this instance, it's like 200 or something. In Add Service Reference, we wouldn't have asked you anything.
Mm-hmm.
We would have generated all of this code, which is like 144,000 lines of code, which, by the way, you can't touch this.
Right.
My little MC Hammer plug.
Steve has this thing, every presentation that we do together, he has this thing where he goes, can't touch this.
Can't touch this. I mean, all right, who knows MC Hammer? I want to hear from the people on the post here who
that
knows MC
so
Hammer and doesn't.
Like, people
well,
that,
it is
I know,
old,
and,
but that's
and,
the point. We want to retire MC Hammer because he is old.
And I've never gotten that reference. To this day, I refuse to look up YouTube videos of someone from the 90s. Like, so old school.
Yeah.
We need a modern reference.
Well, I'm going to bring you a little bottle next time. Anyway, so we have the idea to select which objects you want. And of course, these are Salesforce objects. It could be somebody else's and so forth. And then we'll click Finish. And now what we're doing is very, just like what Moran did with the other one, is we're going to configure the service, create that connected app for Salesforce. We will bring the configuration information that we need into the project, right? There's OAuth tokens, there's refresh, consumer secret and refresh tokens. And we now configured the project with that information. And in Salesforce, because we have this object graph, we've actually scaffolded out model controller. An entity, you know, a POCO kind of class that has information on it for the object we've consumed. Now, in preview, we did have a limitation here. So I'll back up. We talk about what we've done to your project, right? The NuGet references, the .NET references, things that we've done for your config. And then we have some next steps because Salesforce in preview, they have something they call the consumer secret. And because it's a secret, they don't want to tell us what it is. Imagine that. That's kind of how secrets work, I guess. So if I go out to the Salesforce portal, I would log in and I can find the app that I just created. In fact, if I look at the web config, we'll see we created that Salesforce connected app. and notice it says required value.
Okay.
And I'm looking for this Contoso repair manager. So I'll come over here, and I need to click to reveal the secret. And what's kind of funny is I can't collapse it, because once you reveal a secret, it's kind of out. It's can't really take it back. So anyway.
It's no longer a secret.
So we'll take that.
We do that all the time with our Azure demos, so why should Salesforce be any different?
Exactly.
Right?
So we will fix that, actually. We have a newer build that we no longer need to ask it. They have a new version of their API where we can set it, which is exactly what we do in Azure.
Okay.
We can't read it, but we can set it.
And the beauty of it is that most of you that will watch this will actually get the newer build because it's already been pushed out, right? Because we're shipping out of the box, as soon as you hit that download button and mm-hmm. that first page, you'll get the very latest right. version of our V6.
So one of the other things that we did is because we know people will forget that, we actually put a build error in here. So I'm just going to take that reminder back out. So the thing that we also wanted to do was tie into the projects that people are already working. So we're doing a web MVC project here. And the normal thing I would do there is I would create a controller. And in this case, I'm just going to do an empty controller because it's not OData based. We'll call this the context controller. And to get the code for that, what I can do is come over here to our samples for getting started. And we have the samples listed here, very similar, right? Mm-hmm. What happened, getting started, next step, so forth. And here, we actually have a copy button.
Yeah.
So we'll copy that.
Oh, fancy. To copy Steve's little gesture.
So we have a copy button. I can paste in that sample. And within MVC, of course, you can right-click and say add view for that particular operation. Mm-hmm. And we'll go grab the list. Sorry, it's empty. It's the same thing. The list. And I want to create that over the contact class. So this is where we're trying to bridge in. Although Salesforce is a REST endpoint, and it's not an EF object or an OData object, we can still bridge that in and bring it in. So we will scaffold out that view. It'll look at the properties on the thing that we brought into the project. And for cleaning, what I'm going to do is just reduce the properties, because there's a lot of properties on that. So I'll reduce that down. And lastly, the only thing I need to do is, of course, we need to have a navigation item to be able to get to it. So we'll go to View, Shared, and we'll just put this line of code in there so I can actually get to it.
Okay.
So that's we're going to run this now. And you know, while we've added stuff to the project, we've configured the service, you know, we've filled in that gap on the consumer secret, I'm plugging in this non-Microsoft-y standard kind of service into, you got your blob stuff in here. We already deleted that guy. Into you know our current projects.
We've already deleted the files.
Oh, dude, where's your, you need to fix your sample there.
Just uncomment it. Or sorry, just comment.
Well, I was trying to. Can I just say set next statement and go here? Get past it. There's more than one way to skin a cat. Who wants to skin a cat anyway? That's just kind of a weird saying. All right, so I want to click to look at the Salesforce contacts, and because I did the web server flow, mm-hmm. of course I get redirected. Are you focused on that little blue thing back there? Yeah, it's the boat that I want. Anyway, and again, now I'm prompted for confirming, and I'm in.
So what motivated you to capture that image? Do tell.
I was thinking for vacation, I guess. So I've got my cool. MVC controller stuff here, and obviously it's formatted, and I have edit, delete.
So without having to learn the plumbing and guts of connecting to Salesforce, which I'm going to guess is not the hardest thing ever, but not necessarily painfully obvious. You don't have to do any of that. You just run a wizard. We've got all the guts and the plumbing in there for you. This is amazing. This just makes it dramatically easier to actually do that, because the cost of getting started has now been reduced to figuring out a wizard and figuring out.
I mean, the way we think about it is like, imagine if there's a white paper to get started, right? There's probably like 15 steps. We've probably cut down like 7 or 8 of them.
Right.
Yeah. And we really wanted to make it self-discoverable. And to your mm-hmm. point of some of the stuff that got added to the project, damn thing, we wanted to make sure that we didn't do the old can't touch this kind of thing where it was like hidden code, lots of code, and mm-hmm. we now make it your code. I wanted to show one more thing here that kind of helps describe some of the scaffolding that we've done. When I go to the Salesforce context and I want to create, edit, add, delete, even though it's REST-based, and what's the metadata format for REST? Depends, right? I mean, there's some evolving, but there is no standard. So what I can do now is when I create a new one, and let's just go here. We'll do Mr. I'm still stuck in my Freddy Krueger thing from Halloween. And where does Freddy live?
Elm Street,
yeah. So, and it just seems like a lot of murders happen in Compton, so we're going to pick on them. But if we look at what we have here, so when I say, if I put Freddy in here as his email, notice that if I make it a non-valid email, it picks that up. And the way we're able to do that is, although there is no metadata format for REST, because it's the Salesforce provider, we know where to go get it from Salesforce. Right. We know where Dynamics CRM stores their additional metadata format, or SAP knows where to do that. So that we can really give a really robust experience on that. But rather than it being the single file generator, things that you can't edit or you have to do all the special stuff to expand it, because we know where to get that information, we can still put in things like the display name with spaces. Mm-hmm. We can get whether it's creatable or updatable, so when we send the graph back, max length, email, URL, that kind of stuff. So we really have a lot of capability there. And even these files, notice these files are in your project. You own them now. Those are built on T4 templates that, Marwan, closed my folder from T4 templates. So the way you get to the T4 templates is we have a customizing here. So not only do we give you the flexibility to get access to becomes your code, but of course you control what that code is. Oh. Actually, I don't want to grab that one. I'll grab, I guess it doesn't really matter. And unfortunately, I love DevArt. I've been using their T4 template. Unfortunately, I don't have one for preview yet, so you have to deal with the old school black and white here. But you can change this, and that's the idea. So we wanted to give developers that flexibility to be able to change what we generate into the project. So that's where we're at for preview. One of the things that we've been looking at is what should we do post-preview? And we obviously have some debt of things that we have to clean up. But we're taking a look at, obviously fixing the service references so you do get the context menu there. Mm-hmm. We're also looking at things like, should we do some more handlers so that you can do the providers that we've written, like Salesforce and Azure, in different project types? Because each project type is a little different, and we allow these authors to write the right code for that project type.
That's an interesting point. What project types are currently supported?
So we have a pretty good matrix of that. It's a pretty big list.
Okay.
For Salesforce, we focus specifically on MVC and console apps because we know people are building like these headless apps that they run in web
jars. So store apps, phone apps.
For
it,
now,
it really is
Cordova apps.
We do have Cordova support.
Something that you build with Xamarin.
Absolutely. So it really depends on the service that you're consuming.
Exactly.
So like Office 365, for example,
depends on the service.
Office 365.
We have
a lot of technologies.
Bring in the list of things that our customers are doing.
So we do have a number of them. And like Office 365, this is actually the second release of Connected Services. So they have the most robust. Mm-hmm. They have everything from Cordova to Universal to Web MVC and Office apps and all those kind of as well. But for each one, so that's the thing we're trying to get some feedback on is do we have the right project support for each one of them?
And I really think of the emphasis that we have on the project type is really dependent on the service. So for example, with mobile services, it doesn't really make any sense to have it on web projects, right? Mm-hmm. The influence is more on client projects.
Right.
So that's why we have support for Windows Phone, Windows Store, Cordova. With storage, for example, the SKU is more towards web technologies because if you're working with Azure Storage on the client, you want to have some sort of middle tier and have some sort of, like a valet key pattern where it's like your client hits the middle tier in turn connects to the Azure Storage. Mm-hmm. And so it really depends on the project type, and that's something that we'd love to get feedback from people on, like, hey, if your project type is not supported, do you want that support, and why do you want it?
So do you think that the add service reference dialogue goes away and is subsumed into this? Will I be able to add connections to WCF and ASMX services? What about web API services? What about things that I already know how to do?
So this is another thing that, you know, we've been looking at our backlog of what we want to prioritize. So of course we have the ad service reference experience already, sure. And that continues to work in Visual Studio 2015. So is there a value in moving that in? Of course there's some value, but is there actually a big chunk of work for us to do.
Right.
So we're not sure we're going to be able to merge those right now because that already works. However, for ASMX, you know, SOAP and so forth, if you look at Web API, because Web API doesn't have a full discovery system in place yet, that is something we do want to invest. Okay. In fact, you know, Brady Gaster comes on the show quite a bit, and Scott Hunter and their team. That's something that they are looking to build, a connected service provider for a Web API. Okay. So it'll do self-discovery of what's in your solution or Web APIs that are out. And that he'll look at, you know, they'll write the provider in such a way to look at different metadata formats.
Mm-hmm.
With, I think Swagger's the one that he's most focused on, and I'm probably gonna get it wrong and he's gonna yell at me, but he'll correct me on the
All kinds of Swagger, there's RAML as well. So
they're definitely looking at a list of the ones that they believe people support the most, and there's a bunch of details that they're still looking at. So we definitely wanna do that, and we see that'll be the investment in connected services, and then we'll continue to support SOAP and ASMX.
And the other thing is, we're also thinking about, like, are there other providers that we should build, and we're also partnering up with folks from the community and other companies to see if there are things that, if there are providers for services that they want to build themselves.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And the only other thing that we're, the big one is re-entrancy, right? One of the things that's nice about ad service reference and this big generated code is, because it's generated and you can't touch it, that also means we can just wholeheartedly replace it.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to do is, we have some visions of, you can right click and update individual model files. So imagine that this string became an int, or it became a different length, or added email, or I added another property or added another object. We want to be able to right click on this, go back, compare to that service, show the delta, and although it's your code, we can still look at the interface of that code and know, oh, you're missing a property.
Okay.
Or this property name, it's named the same, something is different about it, do you want to move those across? So we believe that's a really, you know, instead of it just being the initial experience and we helped you with the primer, we want to provide value over the length of your project. And we all know that things evolve and we want to be able to support that. So that's another thing that, again, we'd love some feedback on, where's the right prioritization for us to focus on in this first major release of these.
So best place to give feedback is User Voice?
User Voice
or Send a Smile. In that, why don't you show them real quick?
Yeah, this is cool. We actually had some fun with this one. So up here, not only do you have it on the selection pane, but if I go into a provider, when you provide Send a Smile feedback here, and of course you can provide a frown. If it's a frown, you should give us a frown.
Mm-hmm.
But as you put information in here, and you know, you can send us a screenshot, which the screenshots really help, because sometimes you don't realize the contextual questions that we might are interested in. Not only does that feedback go into our Visual Studio feedback, but it's marked as a connected service. And if I'm in a particular provider, like I'm in with Salesforce, we know it's the Salesforce provider.
Mm-hmm.
So that really helps. I mean, there's a lot of people in Visual Studio, and it helps for us to find the stuff that we're most interested in.
Yeah, cool. And you can also reach out to our Twitter handles. So mine is at Marwan Hade, MerwanHade.
That was very creative.
I know, thank you.
And mine's at Stephen Lasker, so.
Oh, even more
creative. So we'll put those on the bottom, and you can find us there.
Cool,
so
awesome stuff.
We're looking forward to the feedback. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for coming on and showing us this. That is cool. All right, hope you enjoyed that, and we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.